Hey everybody, welcome inside the Rams studio connected by AT&T for our first off-season edition of Rams Mailbag. I'm Miles Simmons, joined by DeMarco Farr, and we obviously need your help to do this show. Please leave your questions in the Facebook comments, or you can tweet them to me at Miles A. Simmons. So, for our first question, we will go to producer Matt.
From Calvin, what are your three must-improve areas for the Rams to repeat as NFC West champs?
Ooh, interesting. Must improve areas.
Tight end, number one. That position has to get better. The numbers, I think it was Jared Goff threw to his tight end 16% of the time. Yeah, so that's got to improve. That's got to come up by at least 10 points. So that's you got to improve there. Depth at corner, maybe, if that's fair to say.
Yeah.
I mean, you never have enough good corners.
Yes.
Yeah, and to me, edge rushers, you have to improve there.
I would say I would agree with you, particularly on edge rushers. I think run defense, just generally, that's somewhere that the Rams have definitely got to get better as well. I mean, you look at the numbers, and sometimes the Rams played well enough to win on defense 11 times this season, obviously, so that's most of the time, but there also were times where you could tell that run defense was getting gashed. I think about the game against Minnesota. That was an issue.
Oh, yeah.
The game against Atlanta also was definitely an issue, particularly after Michael Brockers went down in that playoff game. So, yeah, the Rams have got to improve their run defense. But I think you're also right about the tight end position. You want to get a little bit more out of that position. And that's something that Sean McVay has brought up. But it's a little harder to execute sometimes, you know?
Just looking at, you know, the best tight ends in the game. You got Kelsey there, and you've got Gronkowski on that list. Just think of all those quarterbacks, too. The tight end's always the quarterback's best friend.
Yes.
So I think you've got enough here. If you add that piece, who knows what this offense can be.
Yeah, I think that's true. All right, Matt, back to you.
From NJ Ram, what kind of effect, if any, will losing LaFleur and Olsen have on the offense?
I don't know that it's going to have too much of a dramatic effect. I think just personality-wise, when you talk about getting to know somebody and getting to work with somebody, you got to get to work with somebody else new.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it puts more, if you can honestly do this, more pressure on Sean McVay. I mean, that's a brilliant offensive mind that's leaving the room. I mean, somebody's got to pick up the slack.
Yes.
So I expect that's going to be spread around, but a lot of that pressure and attention to detail is going to fall on Sean McVay, who's a guy that can handle it. I mean, he's young. He's been,
right.
I think he's been in this situation before as a play caller, so that's understandable. But yeah, it's going to hurt not having LaFleur in the building.
Yeah, and that's the one that I think was a little more unexpected, simply because in a lot of ways it looks like a lateral move. You go from offensive coordinator of one team to offensive coordinator of another team. But really, it does amount to a promotion for Matt LaFleur, because he is going to call plays there for the Titans and, you know, coach that quarterback in Marcus Mariota. So I guess I kind of misspoke too a little bit just a second ago when I said new. These guys that are coming in really aren't new to the Rams. You've got Zach Taylor, who was promoted from assistant wide receivers coach to quarterbacks coach, has experience in the league as a quarterbacks coach for the Dolphins, did some good things with Ryan Tannehill there, and then Shane Waldron is now just going from tight ends coach to passing game coordinator, and he's been around, he's done some things in some coaching, so guys who are going to work with Jared Goff, work with the quarterback there, and work alongside all of the offense, they understand what this is about. The really only new person is going to be senior offensive assistant Jed Fish. He was just down the road with UCLA.
Instead of saying lateral move for Matt LaFleur, how about jump cut? Sometimes the hole over there is wide open.
Yes.
You just got to get to it.
I like that.
Yeah.
Jump cut for Matt LaFleur going down to Tennessee. All right, guys, continue to ask your questions there in the Facebook comments or at Miles A. Simmons on Twitter. Matt, back to you.
Couple of Rams free agents this year. So Alfredo asks a simple, not so simple question. Who do we sign? Who do we let go?
Wow. Sign them all.
Yeah.
That's tough. I mean, there's an argument to be made for guys like Tavon Austin to remain on this football team.
No, who is not a free agent, but there is clearly a decision that the Rams are going to have to make.
Though. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to it, but I mean, all these guys are valuable. I mean, they're coming off an 11-win season.
Mm-hmm.
They're all valuable. They all contributed. You want them all back, but the business of football will say otherwise.
Yeah, it's always a matter of saying, okay, how do these guys fit contract-wise, also scheme-wise, and then if they do go, then how do we get better aside from them? And,
right.
You know, so that's it's always a tough thing. I mean, you've got right. some really high profile guys who are going to be free agents.
And but you got to look at what's next on deck. Like, what's behind them?
Yes.
What guys can you bring up from the roster right now to fill those roles mm-hmm. if you lost them? Some of those guys, when you look at depth, could prove invaluable until you get to the draft or through free agency. Other guys, hey, look, maybe you can let the younger guy play
right.
versus this the older free agent. That's probably has more behind than in front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always a hard thing, mm-hmm. but it's something that the Rams did really well last year
yeah.
just in terms of evaluating that personnel and then making sure you're getting better and keeping
yeah.
guys versus letting some guys go.
I had a coach tell me you rarely cut. He said he rarely cuts good players or rarely cuts bad players.
Hmm.
Like every cut he makes, they're always good players.
Yeah.
It's just you can't keep them all.
Right.
Yeah, it's a rarity when you cut a bad guy.
It's the nature of this league,
right,
honestly.
Right.
And it's why it's designed so
yeah.
that teams have parity. You know,
right.
it's just kind of the nature of things.
Yeah.
Right, Matt, back to you.
I know it's hard to tell at this point in time, but from Juan, what position in the draft do you believe the Rams will target first?
Oh, that is hard to tell, especially prior to free agency. And, you know, if you had told me last year that the Rams would select a tight end with their first pick in the second round, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to predict.
Depends on what's there.
Yeah.
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 Who's there? What's there in the draft? How does the top half of the draft go?
I'm gonna do the biggest cop out and say best player available.
But it's true.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, like you said, when you go back to your exploits at the Pro Bowl this year,
yeah.
what positions were represented? Where is your position of strength on this football team? Remember, division champs.
Yes.
This is good. So
yes.
where are you deficient? So depending on how the top half of the draft goes mm-hmm. and where you're picking, whatever is available, best player,
yeah.
pick that guy.
And it does make things different when you're drafting at number 23 overall
yeah.
as opposed to within the top 10 or within the top 15
yeah.
as the Rams kind of have been over the last 10, 15 years. You know what
right.
I mean? It's been a while since the Rams have started out with a pick in the mid-20s. So
right.
this now, I don't want to say it changes the approach, so to speak, but it makes things a little bit different because it's a little harder to predict how everything is going to fall.
Well, guaranteed it's not going to be a quarterback. It's not going to be a punter or a place kicker.
Right.
If it's a running back, best player on the board.
Look, you saw, but here's the thing.
Right.
And you saw this
look
with
at Philly.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
Well, look at Philly. Look
yeah.
at New Orleans,
yeah.
right? You get guys like
yeah.
Kamara and Ingram, and
yeah.
you look at what they do together, and boom, that's a really explosive offense.
What's better than one good back?
Two good backs.
Right.
So you never know. And that's what makes this thing a toss-up. If somebody had told me in February of 2015 that the Rams would select Todd Gurley at 10th overall, I would have looked at him funny.
With a blown knee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. Or, you know, in this year, could be left tackle of the future.
Yeah.
Eventually, it's going to be.
Yeah.
Your future is going to be here at some point.
Yeah.
So whatever is available at that number when you pick is probably, that's the direction we'll go, or they'll go.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. All right, guys, you can continue to ask your questions on Facebook, in the comments, or on Twitter at Miles A. Simmons. Matt, back to you.
From Clash of the Horns, who had the most swag at the NFL honors? That's including players, coaches, and Miles, LOL. No Reese's Bowl for Mr. Hollywood.
Wow. I like it.
Yeah, I like that too. Who had the most swag? I mean, it's either from the Rams, it's between Todd Gurley and Aaron Donald. I got to interview both of those guys on the red carpet, which was fun. I mean, you can check those out on therams.com if you would like. But Todd Gurley's shoes, I did not take the picture of them. Gary Klein tweeted them out, at LA Times Klein, if you have not seen this picture. They're like red with like spikes coming out of them. That's a lot of swag. But like Aaron Donald was dressed in a very classic sort of tux. So
okay.
I would dress more like Aaron Donald than Todd Gurley.
Nice.
I don't have that much swag. Take my name out of it.
So
I did not have it.
AD went James Bond, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I
AD
like
was
it.
More James Bond. And
Todd Gurley was the villain.
I guess. Yeah, the spikes on his shoes, like, started flying out.
I like
that
it.
Funny.
I like
Next
it.
Next question.
This one's going to be from me, actually. DeMarco, talk about who stood out to you at the Senior Bowl.
A guy named Matt Israel really stood out at the Pro Bowl. I mean, my God, he was all over the place. I'm
yeah.
not even kidding.
He did a great job
yeah,
producing
oh my God.
Content.
He did a great
just
job.
Just like he does in the studio.
I stayed in one spot the whole time. He
That's
was
the first
all
time
the
my name has been uttered on Rams
I know,
Mailbag
you're
Live.
Yeah, it's not
Mailbag Matt
that.
Is not a mystery anymore.
Oh, my God. There were so many guys that, I mean, so many players that stood out. Gosh, my memory. The Penn State receiver.
I can't remember his name either, but he was making.
He was everywhere.
He was balling.
Oh my God, he was balling. I mean, it looked like men among boys.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Like maybe that's what Cooper Kupp looked like.
Hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
wow, this guy's always open. He's always in the right spot. Every quarterback that's in drills or in a team setting can always find that guy.
Yes.
Yeah, he really, really stood out.
I will tell you, I mean, having been there last year and you were there this year, I was not, mm-hmm. that is what Cooper Kupp looked
okay.
like.
Yeah.
Know, he was making cornerbacks kind of look silly with his precise route running all the time, and any quarterback who was throwing to him seemed to know that they had that security blanket.
Penn State kid. He was number 5 at the Senior Bowl. I'll find that. But he really
number
stood
one
out.
In your hearts.
Number one in your hearts, no doubt. But, I mean, it was hard to take your eyes off Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it was not just the drills. It was between drills because you want to know how much swag he has.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much swag he thinks he has.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're watching everything.
And he thinks he has a lot, doesn't he?
Oh, my God. If you go by the way he dresses, that guy can play.
Okay.
Or at least he thinks he can.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
I think we'll take a couple more questions. Matt, back to you.
Last one.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm going to botch this name. So, Mr. Amore, what would you guys consider a good season next year? I mean, I know you're going to say Super Bowl, but where's the line?
Let's start with defending NFC West champs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got to start there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that it's hard to do. To win a division back-to-back times. Just look at the NFC East,
mm-hmm.
and you can see how hard it is to win that kind of division in back-to-back years. But just the fact that this NFC West is going to be better, and it's going to look a little bit different. I mean, obviously, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be entrenched with the San Francisco 49ers. They won all of his starts anyway, you know, just from him getting there at midseason
mm-hmm.
and going through the rest of the year. The guy's still undefeated as a starter, mm-hmm. which is kind of funny.
Well,
but
that's going to change.
It yeah. will change, obviously. But, you know, just from that standpoint, San Francisco is going to improve. They're retooling in Seattle, but as long as they've got that quarterback and as long as they've got the head coach there, you got to anticipate that they're going to be fine. Steve Wilks, I think, is going to be a pretty good hire for the Arizona
oh, yeah.
Cardinals, too.
They're going to get well soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who knows how they're going to address quarterback, but look, they can be in play for somebody, whether it's a free agent, somebody coming out of the draft. That's going to be something that's going to be really interesting to see there. So repeating as division champs is not going to be easy, but
no.
I think, you know, when you talk about what's a successful season and us sitting here on February 7th, start with winning the NFC West.
Start with there, and then if you want to just take it one step beyond, qualify for the bye
yep.
in the postseason.
Yeah.
That, to me, would be a great season. That would be a step beyond what you did in the previous year.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that I think would make that difference.
Yep.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for your questions here on Rams Mailbag. That'll do it for us inside the Rams studio connected by AT&T. For producer Matt, for DeMarco Farr, I'm Miles Simmons. We'll see you next time.